Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries teaches the Word of God from God's perspective and not from a human perspective. And we want to know what God has to say through His words because we're convinced that God knows exactly what He's talking about. Our Lord, our God is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of the universe. Today's Bible lesson, it's a matter of death and life. It's a matter of death and life. And so He has risen. In this lesson, we celebrate the most important event in human history, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that thing which separated Him from all the pretender gods. He has risen. Three of the most amazing words ever spoken. Three of the most amazing words ever heard. He has risen. Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6 say this. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. Matthew 28, 6. He is not here, for he has risen from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. In the last lesson, we celebrated the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on a cross. And from there, he laid in a grave for three full days and three full nights. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for three full days and three full nights, so our Lord was in the earth for three full days and three full nights. Now, in this lesson, we celebrate the resurrection of the risen Christ, his eternal life. He has risen, just as he said, to fulfill the scriptures, to prove his deity, to conquer death. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead in resurrection. He laid down his life, and then he took it up again. The Lord Jesus Christ moved from death to life. The Lord promises his believers the same destiny, the resurrection life. The Christian way of life is a matter of death to life, from spiritual death to spiritual life, the resurrection life. John chapter 10. Verses 7 to 10 say this. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the open door, the door of the sheep. John 10, 8. All the false shepherds who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the Lord's sheep did not hear them, did not listen to their call. And in ancient Jerusalem, all the sheep were placed in a pen. And when the shepherd would come into the pen, he would make a call. And it was the equivalent of a whistle or some kind of a call that he had trained his sheep to hear. And all of his sheep would come and follow him. And this is what is being talked about here. John, so anyone who wants a spiritual life, anyone who wants to spend eternity in heaven, anyone who wants to be saved must enter through the single door. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the door. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you place your confidence in him through faith alone, in Christ alone, for your salvation, you are saved. And you move from death to life. John chapter 10, verse 9. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the door to salvation. And if anyone enters through me, that's a third class condition. If maybe you will and maybe you won't, you have a choice. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. After providing salvation, the Lord provides for every other need of his sheep, and that's described in this verse as pasture. John 10:10. The thief, Satan, the chief of the false shepherds, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy the sheep. But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, came that the sheep may have the resurrection life, the Zoe life, that's the Greek word for it, the eternal life, and that they may have that life abundantly. Abundantly, exceeding beyond anything you could ever ask or think. Welcome to a place of abundance where you can learn about the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his inerrant word, the canon of Scripture, and where you can gain full access to the resurrection life, the most important choice that anyone makes in this lifetime. And so we'll begin this lesson with a song. And it is a song written, produced, and sung by June Murphy. And it's something that a great shepherd would do. The title of the song is "You Ran After Me."
Dark, there is no doubt. Jesus, light of the world, eternal truth. Savior, you pursued, then let me choose. You ran after me. You ran after me. Sought me for. Opened up salvation's door. Jesus, you are everything I need. I'm yours. I will follow where you lead. You ran after me. You ran after me. Sought me for.
We need to change the words. You know, he ran after all y'all. They're like that down in Dallas. He ran after all y'all. Is that all of us? Let us pray. Thanks, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Almighty Father, thank you for providing us with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth and the life. Thank you for the resurrection life. A life of abundance, exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ask or think. Thank you for making us new creatures after your Son's death on the cross. Thank you for transforming us daily through the renewing of our minds. Use us, Father. Make us instruments of your will. Put us in the position to lead others to the great shepherd. Let us show the value of moving from death to life. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, it's a matter of death and life. It's a matter of death and life. In grammar school, I heard this threat every day. I'm kicking your ass at 3:15. It was the favorite expression of all the bullies in the school. And of course, as a young man with a quick wit and a razor-sharp tongue who excelled academically, I was always their target. Funny thing, the threats never materialized. As a result of their forewarning, I was always the first to the door for our dismissal at 3:15. And I had 60 different pre-planned escape routes to avoid being captured and beaten. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I would have been a great spy. I would have been amazing as a spy. I would have known all the escape routes. Well, when I transitioned from 6th grade to 7th grade, the bullies warned me, if you come to Douglas School for 7th grade, which is where I was slated to go, you're going to get killed on the first day. Well, I didn't go to Douglas School for 7th grade, and you guessed it, I didn't die. What they didn't know wouldn't hurt them. They were threatening the child of a king. They were threatening a person who was protected under the power of God by the resurrection life. And even if they had been successful at killing my body, they would have never touched my soul, which is hidden in God forever. For believers in Christ, we now have the resurrection life. Yet we still have an enemy in Satan and in his followers, the kingdom of death. And they are bullies who seek to rob us of the resurrection life, who seek to steal and kill and destroy. But we have instruction through the Bible, and it says this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. Be sober of spirit and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, standing firm in your faith, and knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. 1 Peter 5:10. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God and Father of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in union with Christ, will himself personally perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. 1 Peter 5:11, to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's a matter of death and then life. And we are to ignore the roaring of Satan, the toothless lion, and his minions. And instead, we are to listen to the voice of the door, the great shepherd, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's take the offering. In a moment, we'll welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. I just want to say one thing about the offering today. Your generosity gives this ministry life. So thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. Thanks for always providing so that we can disseminate the word of God to everyone who wants to hear it. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. And I think I've done, I don't know, probably over 350 offerings, something like that now. And I just rack my brain all week trying to think, how can I give these guys incentive? How can I motivate them to give to our church? How can I pull more cash out of their wallets and out of their purses? How can I get them to give of their time to this church and their treasure and their talent and all their specific gifts? And really, at the end of the day, I don't have to do any of that. The Lord's going to do all that for us. He's going to speak to your soul personally. He's going to speak to you on a daily basis through your study of the Word of God. And that's why we have such an amazing place, because, like Pastor said, all our lessons are online. They're in audio, so you can just stream it and listen to it in your earbud like a mixtape while you're jogging. Or you can put it on your laptop while you're making dinner and have it in the background. And you're going to catch a lot of stuff. You really are. Each time you hear it, you're going to hear something different. And that's just amazing. And so, I'm trying to come up with motivation for this week. And then I'm like, duh, the resurrection. There's no greater motivation to give than that. When you think of what the Lord Jesus Christ went through, all the trials and tribulations, knowing well in advance that he was going to go through that, knowing that it was going to be a horrible situation, yet he still drove on. He gave his life. So why is it hard for us to give a little bit of cash so that others can know about this? And it's not about our own recognition of anything. And I look to Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that's why we need to keep praying, and we need to keep coming here, and we need to keep giving, because the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And it's the only way to really activate the spirit is to come here and know your Christ and know about God. And when I would use, when in the old me looking at this verse, I would think, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. I would think of the little things of temptation. The little things of, don't buy candy, eat healthy, save your money. My mom would always say, you're always doing something right if you're buying food, when I was in college, because she knew I was going to eat right. But when you think about it, this verse hits me more. It means when something big is going on. That's the moment when you're either going to go away from Christ or you're going to go to Christ. So keep watching and praying so that when temptation, when something big hits your life, you're not going to fall away from Christ. You're going to go towards Christ because the Spirit is willing and it's going to help you. Just stand firm and watch deliverance. But the flesh is weak and it's going to tell you at every turn, don't do it, don't do it, it's not going to work, do your own thing, figure something out. It's not going to happen. It's funny how we beat ourselves up, but at the same time, we trust in ourselves beyond measure. So I just think, as Pastor said, thank you so much for all the giving you've done up to this point. We have people giving across the country, around the world, within this ministry. We have people stepping up without being asked. They want to. There's no reluctance. It's full-on, full-heart desire to give to this church. And in doing so, you're giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no better way to worship than by giving of your first fruits. And I'll leave you with one last thing. Pastor's been harping on me for a while on my finances. We had another long talk yesterday. And I was asking lots of questions, I'm sure. It wasn't him droning on about what I need to do. But he said, when you get a paycheck, take 10% and give it to pay yourself. Right away. Pay yourself first, always. Because that, by the end of the year, you're going to have, several thousand dollars saved up you don't even know about. And in the same way, when you get money, give to Christ first. Give of your first fruits. Don't give what's left. Give of the first fruits, because he's going to replenish everything you've given tenfold, no doubt. It may not happen right away. It might not happen on your timing. And it may seem in doubt, but that's exactly when you need to have faith and rest on your faith that you have in God. So thank you for coming each week, and thank you for your consistent giving.
Thank you, Deacon Denny. Well, you know, when Deacon Denny first came to Barah Ministries, he was a little chunky. I had always wondered why, but now I know that he was listening to Mom. You know, that, you know, it's never bad to buy food. That was really good. Now, Deacon Denny, I love your offering messages. You got to customize them for the audience, right? So you said, you know, they should put earbuds in when they're jogging. The ladies in Barah Ministries don't jog. Now, you want to say, all right, you can put your earbuds in when you're on your way to go have lunch, or when you're on your way to go to a basketball game, or you're on your way to hike Camelback Mountain, you know, yeah, or shopping. That would be the customization for this group. All right, so today's Bible lesson, it's a matter of death and life. It's a matter of death and life. We continue our Resurrection Day study. Life is what we celebrate in this lesson. Life is what we celebrate on this day, the resurrection life. And it's something that you believers in Christ have right at this moment. This is not a future event for you. It's something that happened for you at the moment of salvation. And God the Holy Spirit is doing his work to conform you into the image of the Son. And what he's teaching you how to do is in your new self how to love the resurrection life, and in your old self how to put off that part of you which is no longer alive but is quite dead. And that's what we celebrate on this day. And we continue our study with Luke's account of what happened after the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 53. And one of the things I want to tell you is that, you know, lessons like these two for today are lessons that you should listen to a lot of times. And so this week, you ought to listen to those lessons two or three or four times and see the things that are in there that are the subtleties that you miss when you hear it just the first time. All right, so let's continue. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. It says, "But on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, at early dawn, the women," and you remember the women were the women who were following the Lord Jesus Christ from Galilee and were watching everything that happened to him. "The women came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared to preserve the body from decay and stinking." And now, remember, they had prepared this on the day before the Sabbath, and then they sat out the Sabbath, but they were ready. And then on Sunday, they were up at dawn going to take care of the Lord's body. And again, the women are always on the case. Luke 24, 2. "And the women found the stone rolled away from the tomb. The tomb was sealed. And as a matter of fact, there were guards guarding the tomb because they had heard that the Lord was going to be resurrected. And they wanted to make sure that there were guards there so that nobody could come and steal the body and then fake the resurrection. And those guards were to guard that grave with their lives. If anything happened to that body, they were going to be killed. They were going to be put to death. So the women found the stone rolled away from the tomb, Luke 24, 3. "But when they entered the tomb, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus." Luke 24, 4. "And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men, angels, suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing." Luke 24, 5, dazzling meaning very white, very bright, luminescent clothing. Luke 24, 5, "And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead?'" Awesome! Why do you seek the living one among the dead? That's the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ and all the pretenders. Did Buddha raise from the dead? Joseph Smith? Any of the popes we know? No, but Jesus Christ did. I love that. You know what? It's a matter of death and life. Remember what Job said in Job chapter 19, verse 25? He said, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last, Jesus will take his stand on the earth." And when Jesus takes his stand on the earth in the second coming, guess who's going to be there with him? Us-in. That's right, y'all. All y'all. As the first company to watch him do everything. And we will reign with him for 1,000 years on the earth. And that's exciting to me. And so death has no hold over me. I don't worry about it. I welcome it. I'm not worried at all about it because I know that I will never die. Only this body will die, but I am going to live forever, and I'm going to have another 1,000-year crack at this goofy planet. So I'm really excited about that. But I wonder if you get to keep your toys and computers and stuff like that. You think? I don't know. Probably not. No, you don't. No, we won't need them. Definitely not. Continuing at Luke chapter 24, verse 6. The angel said to the women, "Jesus is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, unbelievers, and be crucified, and on the third day rise again? Do you remember?" They called to recollection things that we forget when we're in a state of grief. Luke 24:8, and the women remembered Jesus' words. Luke 24:9, and the women returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 apostles, minus Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, and to all the rest of the disciples of the Lord. Luke 24:10, now the women were Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James the Lesser. Now, Mary Magdalene, a lot of women at that time were called Marys. Mary Magdalene was called Mary Magdalene because she was from a town called Magdala. And so when one of these days we're going to take a trip to Israel, and Magdala would be a place that we would want to go just to see what it's like. But that's why she was called Mary Magdalene, because she was actually Mary of Magdala. All right, so these were the women who were following Jesus around. And also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. Luke 24:11, but these words appeared to the disciples to be nonsense, and they would not believe them. Well, why wouldn't they believe it? Hey, you remember that guy that we saw crucified? He's risen from the dead. Nobody's going to believe that. Right? We wouldn't believe that. And furthermore, the Lord knew that no one would believe that, and he did something about it. And so that's what we're concentrating on, because when they heard this, it was unbelief. And that is the disease of the faithful. The "I'll believe it when I see it" attitude, the empiricism attitude. Yet for us believers, the attitude must be, "I'll see it when I believe it." We walk by faith and not by sight. And so in our souls, there is no doubt. It's a matter of death and life. So let's take a quick music break, and then we'll see what else happened after the burial of our Lord. The music break is "The Lion and the Lamb" by Crystal Lewis.
The mightiest of all. Who is he? Creation trembles at his call. Who is he? The lowly sacrifice, paid a victim's price. His name is Jesus. From the Father's own right hand, Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, Jesus, who died and rose again, Jesus, he's the Lion and the none can tame. Who is he that every foe would fear his name? Who is he who was humbly led away to suffer that dark day? His name is Jesus. Jesus, from the Father's own right hand, Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, Jesus. burn like fire. Who is he? Oh, the wonder he inspires. Who is he?
Amen. Today's Bible lesson, it's a matter of death and life. The Lord Jesus Christ is whoever we need him to be. He's the Son of God, 100% God. He's the Son of Man, 100% true humanity and one person forever. He is the Lamb without spot or blemish who takes away the sins of the world. He's the Lion of Judah who has teeth behind his roar. So welcome back. We pick it up at Luke chapter 24, verse 12, which says this: But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home marveling at what had happened. He was marveling, but he didn't know what had happened. He really didn't understand what had happened. I think it's interesting that the first interactions that the Lord Jesus Christ had were with the women, and the second interactions he had was with Peter, the one who had betrayed him, the one who had sworn three times that he would never, under any circumstances, betray him, whom the Lord told, yeah, before the rooster crows three times, you will tell everybody that you don't even know me. And the concern that the Lord had to get to Peter right away and say, hey, man, everything's cool. So he was marveling, Peter was, but he didn't really understand what had happened. And the apostles and the disciples were so deeply engulfed in the emotion of grief that they weren't able to think. Luke chapter 24, verse 13, and behold, two of the disciples were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. That was quite a walk. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. And specifically, that was not about the crucifixion, but about the talk and the report of the Lord's resurrection. Now, it should be clear from that verse that everyone in the area knew of Jesus. But what about all the little children in the middle of Africa? You know, that's what you always hear in the United States. And I've told you time and time again that I've met a lot of people in the middle of Africa. And they all have heard of Jesus Christ. So everybody in the Judean region, in Galilee, in Jerusalem, had heard of Jesus. So there was no doubt about that. Luke 24:19. Is that? Wait, I skipped. I hit twice. Okay, there we go. Luke 24:15. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached them and began traveling with them. Luke 24:16, but their eyes were prevented by God from recognizing Jesus. Luke 24:17, and Jesus said to them, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking? In other words, what are you guys talking about? And they stood still, looking sad. Luke 24:18, and one of the disciples, named Cleopas, answered and said to Jesus, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who's unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? So, again, everybody knew about Jesus. Luke 24:19, and Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people." Luke 24:20, and how the chief priests of the Sanhedrin and our rulers, Pilate and the Roman authorities, delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. Luke 24:21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, it's the third day since these things have happened. They were looking for the redemption of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ was looking for the redemption of all mankind. And that's what he accomplished instead. The Lord is quite a bigger thinker than we are. Luke 24:22. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning. Luke 24:23. And they didn't find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Alive. He has risen. He is resurrected from the dead. Luke 24:24. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But Jesus they did not see. Luke 24:25, and Jesus said to them, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." The disciples had the Old Testament predictions in writing. They should have understood clearly what had happened if they had just referred to the scripture. And that's what happens to us a lot of times when we get emotional. We forget to just go back to the scripture and find out what the scripture has to say. Luke 24:26. Was it not necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Luke 24:7. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, Jesus explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Luke 24:28. And they approached the village where they were going, and Jesus acted as though he were going farther. Luke 24:29. But they urged Jesus, saying, "Stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." And what they were really saying is, "Dog, it's dark in Jerusalem without any lights, and you're going to fall into a pit or something and get eaten, so just stay here with us and wait for the sunshine." So Jesus went in to stay with them. Luke 24:30. And when Jesus had reclined at the table with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he began giving it to them. Luke 24:31. And then their eyes were opened by God, and they recognized Jesus. And when they did, he vanished from their sight. Luke 24:32. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" Luke 24:33. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them. Luke 24:34, saying, "The Lord has really risen, and he's even appeared to Simon Peter." Well, we believe things when we hear things from two or three witnesses. In the jurisprudence, you know what I'm saying? In court, in the jurisprudence system, if you accuse me of something, you have to have two or three witnesses to corroborate your story. And so what was Jesus doing after his resurrection from the dead? He was making witnesses, two or three witnesses, the women, Peter, Cleopas. You know, we wonder, why does God choose to express himself as a triune God, one God in three separate and distinct persons? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's why. Three witnesses, two or three witnesses. The omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, who is everywhere at the same time, sees every single thing that happens, and therefore all three members of the Trinity can testify against any creature at any time. That's why he expressed himself that way. Amen? So the Lord does not expect blind faith. As a matter of fact, there is no such thing as blind faith, because when you express your faith, you're placing your confidence in the object of your faith. And you don't do that blindly. You do that after inspection. So there's no such thing as blind faith. And the Lord proves to us who he is and what he says. All right, Luke 24:35. So they began to relate their experiences on the road and how Jesus was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Luke 24:36. And while they were telling these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." Luke 24:37. But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. Luke 24:38. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart?" In other words, if ye have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll say to that mountain, "Move from here to there," and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Luke 24:39. "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have here." Luke 24:40. "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet." Luke 24:41. "And while they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?'" Luke 24:42. That's how you know Jesus was black. Amen. First thing the brother wants to do is get a meal. It's like, "I'm hungry. Give me some food." All right. Luke 24:42. "And they gave him a piece of broiled fish." Luke 24:43. "What'd you say?" "No, it's not. It's delicious." They probably, yeah, broiled, okay. They could have put it out on a limestone or something and fried it a little bit, a little catfish, something. Luke 24:43, "And he took it and ate it before them." So there's some things that you need to know. Jesus is in his resurrection body right now. And what are some of the characteristics of the resurrection body? It has flesh and bones. A resurrection body is recognizable to friends. A resurrection body eats. Amen? That's exciting to me. I was wondering what was going to be doing up there. So now we know. That's excellent. Luke 24:44. "Now Jesus said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" Luke 24:45. "Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures." And that's what Jesus always does. He always takes us back to the word. "It is written." Luke 24:46, "And Jesus said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ, the Messiah, would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day.'" Luke 24:47, "And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Luke 24:48, "You are witnesses to these things." And that's, you know, if you read everything about what Jesus did between the resurrection and Pentecost 50 days later, it was all about showing himself to multiple people so that they could know that he is risen. It was him providing the proof that he is risen. "You are witnesses of these things." Luke 24:49. "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." What was he talking about? He was talking about the filling of the Spirit that would be coming in 50 days at Pentecost. The helper who was promised would go on duty. "It is to your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the helper won't come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you, and he will lead you, guide you into all the truths." That's John chapters 15 and 16. Luke 24:50. "And Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." Luke 24:51. "And while he was blessing them, Jesus parted from them and was carried up into heaven." Luke 24:52. "And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy." It's a matter of death and life. what was the sequence that we celebrate on these two, in these two lessons? Crucifixion and resurrection. In other words, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session. The Lord died on the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind. He was buried, and he lay in the grave 3 full days and 3 full nights. He was resurrected from the dead. He ascended into heaven, as you just saw. And session means that the risen Lord is seated at the right hand of the throne of his Father. And what is he doing at the right hand of God the Father? He is advocating for you. Every time you pray, he's advocating for you. Anytime you sin, he is advocating for you. Anytime the accuser of the brethren is accusing you of something, he is advocating for you. Because the cross was a victory. Satan is defeated. The cross killed him. The cross is a verdict. The cross is a victory. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 say this. Therefore, if you believers in Christ have been raised up with Christ, and you have, first class condition, if in the Greek. Therefore, if you believers in Christ have been raised up with Christ, and you have, keep on seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Don't let Satan and the kingdom of death drag your mindset down into worrying about the crap that's down here. Colossians 3:3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God the Father. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. We have died. The old things are dead. Our sovereignty to sin, dead. From the time when we were spiritually dead, that's dead. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our resurrection life, is revealed, then you believers in Christ also will be revealed with him in glory. It's a matter of death. We all died at the cross. And a matter of life. We will be raised with him in glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers in Christ are, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. And that's one of those expressions we use when somebody dies. We say, they passed away. Well, the old things, that old self that you were born with, has passed away. It has died. To conquer death, you only have to die. Behold, a completely new you has come. You are no longer that old being. It's a matter of death. The old things passed away. It's a matter of life. We have the resurrection life abundantly. And what Satan keeps doing is harping on you. What he keeps doing is bringing up an issue that's already settled. He accuses the brethren, yet we are dead to his sovereignty through the flesh. We are alive to Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says this, sin shall not be master over you believers in Christ. You are not under law. You are under grace. You are not under sin. Stop talking about it. You are not under the law. Stop trying to follow rules. You can't do it anyway. What does Romans chapter 5, verse 20 say? The law came in so that the transgressions would increase. You try to follow the law, you're going to sin more and more. So don't do it. Don't worry. Freedom. The freedom of grace. And so no more eyes on Satan in the kingdom of death. No more listening to them. When they're talking to you, tell them, you're lying. La, 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 la. I'm not listening to you. You're lying. They're always lying. Everything they tell you, God doesn't care about you. Yeah, you went from sinner to saint. Yeah, right. All you do is sin, and you have that repetitive one. You keep doing it. Yeah, every time you get anything going in your life, you screw it up. And we just, oh, wow. Yeah, tell me more about how bad I am. I like that. And then pastor comes in. Ah, you're a priest. Can you get to the part about Satan? Don't listen to him. No more eyes on Satan and the kingdom of death. No more eyes on self. No more eyes on others. Instead, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfection of our faith, who for the joy set before him went to the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Fix our eyes on the resurrected Christ, the Lord, and we live our lives in the light of eternity, because we are eternal beings. We are not temporal beings. What did our Lord say on the cross? John chapter 19, verse 30. One of the things he said was, when he had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. Tetelestai. Salvation is finished in the past, and the result is it stands finished forever, not to ever be brought up again. It is an irrevocable, unchangeable, absolutely true fact that salvation is finished. Then from death to life, Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. Jesus is not here, for he is risen from the dead, just as he said. And if, as a believer in Christ, that will be your reality one day too. You will be resurrected from the dead. And we look forward to that day. It's a matter of death and life. You are alive. And Colossians 3:3 again says, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God the Father. Happy Resurrection Day. Enjoy what Christ has done for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. As it is written, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. Romans 5:8, but God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, as unbelievers, as God's enemy, Christ died instead of us. John chapter 3, verse 17. God the Father did not send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn the world, but the Father sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved through believing in him. John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received the Lord, taking advantage of the free gift of salvation, to them he gave the right once and for all time to become children of God, to those who believe in Christ's name. Closing song, Who Will Call Him King of Kings? June Murphy.
Standing there before their eyes.
had heard before. He told them, go and tell the world that I am alive. They ran as fast as feet could fly. The Lord is risen, was their cry. And you could hear them say, we will call him King of Kings. We will call him Lord of Lords. We will call him Prince of Peace. Such a wonderful counselor, mighty God. We will call him King of Peace. And we will call
Almighty God and Father, thank you for the gift of life. And thank you for helping us through God the Holy Spirit to learn how to enjoy this resurrection life. Thank you for the absolute calm that it provides, the contentment regardless of circumstances. And we just pray that you continue to sustain us as we go through suffering, that you help us to enjoy as we go through prosperity. And to help renovate our minds to know that everything that happens in your life, in our lives, you're working it all together for our good. And we pray that you protect our steps as we go out into the world, Father, and that you keep us on the narrow way, completely dependent on you and your guiding, mentoring God, the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.